Hi, my name's Nick Egan, and you're listening to One Mic, One Wheel.
Hello, everybody, and welcome along to One Mic, One Wheel Season 2. It has been a long time since I have said that. We are very welcome to Episode 1 of Season number 2. Long time coming, but we're finally here. I'm your host, Jack Canan, and with me here today for Episode 1 is founder and owner of a league I'm sure you all know if you're around on the PS4 side, One Hub Racing. It is of course Nick Egan. Nick, you're very, very welcome to the show. Very pleased to have you with me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me along. Watched all of your episodes, season one, and happy to be able to jump in with you and have a chat for season two.
Awesome stuff. So we'll move on with the questions then. So in order to run a successful racing league, I'm sure you know a person has to have a passion for the sport. So what ignited your passion for Formula One in particular?
I think it was, I remember being when I was at school and I was off on the weekends and I never watched it. And it was in 2007 and my dad used to watch it on TV and he used to say to me, I think it was on ITV at that time. I used to come in and he'd always be watching it. And one time he was just explaining to me about this new driver who was basically in his first season and he was doing so well. And obviously that was Lewis Hamilton when he started racing in 2007. And then it just became from that really, it just built up and I just started watching, supporting him. And it just developed more and more. And now my love for F1 is basically more than any other sport. I'm not that into too many sports. So it's nice to be able to have one that you obviously have a lot of passion for. I support. I don't know what's going to happen when Lewis retires because I mainly watch it just to support him. But, you know, I guess there'll be some young talents like Lando and that coming up. So we'll see if my mind switches over to supporting them.
So can I assume then that Brazil 2008 was a highlight for you?
Yeah, it was, and it's funny. Like I hardly ever get to 2007, 2008, and the start of 2009. I was watching all of them every weekend. I'd be there watching the race, and it actually developed for a point. Like at the start of the race, like I felt nervous. I'm just sitting there on my sofa, but I remember just feeling nervous. And like 2009, when I started my job, I worked weekends. And I'd rarely get to watch one. But whenever I do watch one now, I still have that same feeling before the race starts on the formation lap, like just butterflies in my stomach just at the start of the race. But I guess that's, just excitement, really.
So now we'll move on to your involvement with esports. So how did you initially get involved in the world of esports? And can you tell us a little bit about the beginnings of a little league that was then called F1 TS Hub?
Yeah, so it all started with myself and two friends, Chris and David, who we basically were just doing like these little mini championships between us, and we were doing it almost three or four times a week, and really enjoyed it, that side of things, and that's when I first joined a league on PS4. I can't even remember what it was called at the time. It's not still running now, and it was basically, I just liked the idea of a league and I just basically thought I could, you know, do it as well and do it better. And so, yeah, I started it up over 5 years ago now. I think it was, can't remember if it was the end of F1 2012 or the beginning of 2013 that it started. But yeah, it started. And for me, my goal was always to not just provide a night where drivers can turn up and race, but to build a community and to also provide drivers with an off-track experience, you know, because most of us, we're never going to be Formula One drivers, you know, so, and this was before the whole esports scene kind of developed. So it was just really to give drivers a chance to, you know, kind of live that life of an F1 driver, do their interviews and just kind of feel how, you know, the F1 drivers feel on a weekly or race weekend kind of basis, and it just went from there, and obviously, you know, it's there's been difficult times and good times, and that's just part of anything, and it's developed really where I run it almost as a business, but it's never, my goal is never to be the most successful league out there or anything like that. It's just simply to, you know, provide drivers with the opportunity to, you know, race fairly, race fun, and, you know, have that off-track stuff where they can, you know, get that bit of excitement and build that buzz. But yeah, no, it started just with two other friends, and one of them, actually Chris, he won the season 7 drivers championship. So that was nice to see him, you know, take a championship. But you know, yeah, just literally, you know, as some of these stories do, they start from nothing, and then they just keep building up.
And what's been your proudest achievement with the league so far?
Oh, it's hard to say. I think for me, the proudest thing, there's not particularly one moment, because you look back and you think, was there a point where it like took off? And for me, I don't really think it was. For me, I just feel like my proudest thing is, and of course, with my team that I've got behind me running it, we've always been able to deliver such professionalism and organization. Like I feel like we've never slacked, which is, you know, it's hard to reach a high standard, but it's even harder to just continue it even when you grow. So I think for me, that's the most important thing, is even last season growing to 4 tiers, you know, in terms of standard, nothing dropped, everything, you know, was at a high standard and well organized. And, you know, I can only thank the guys that helped me in my management team. But yeah, I think, as I said, that's probably my proudest achievement.
Now, we saw, I think it was a while back now, we're also familiar with the name One Hub, but I did mention earlier that it used to be called F1 TS Hub. So can you elaborate maybe as to why the league had to switch the name, and what was the inspiration behind the name One Hub?
Yeah, it was actually a really, really difficult time for me personally to do that switch over. And we just spent time planning season 12 on F1 2018. We'd just had a new website designed and made. We just paid for more graphics to be made, and the season was starting. We just had qualifying night end of September, and the season was starting in October, and I got this email through from FOM, and at the time you don't really think much of it, and you open it and you start reading it, and at the start they just introduce themselves, and I'm getting all excited thinking, oh, what's this about? And then as I read down, it was basically that we shouldn't be having F1 in our name because it's copyrighted. They also weren't happy with the logo, looks too similar to the official F1 esports series, which only started that year, I believe. And yeah, basically they wanted us to change it. And obviously it's a standard email, so the email is designed to scare you. And it was like, everything has to be changed within 7 days, which obviously isn't physically possible. And yeah, and basically it developed from there, and we had a few emails back and forth because, you know, I needed a bit more clarification. And, you know, it's basically, you can't be using the F1 logos, you know. And I scroll down Twitter and I see it all the time with, you know, other leagues are using it, you know, and it's just, I don't understand how we, out of everyone, got the pick of the bunch, I guess. But yeah, so, you know, the F1 logo shouldn't be used on any, you know, even if it's an F1 league, even if you have tiers with F1, F2, you know, technically, from my understanding, from my conversation with them, is, you know, you're not allowed to do that. And yeah, and basically I said, look, okay, we'll change, but I can't do it in 7 days. And then he basically gave us to the 23rd of December, I think. And I remember the date because I was up late that night, just getting everything done, and it was a colossus amount of work to change, like a ridiculous amount. And I was working, Christmas for me and my work is the busiest time of the year, so just working late and staying up to 1-2 a.m. and just the amount of things that needed changing, you honestly have no idea. And it just took me hours. I've got a friend who used to race for us, Charlie, who made the website for us. And he helped me through a lot of it, but just the images that needed doing, and all our images needed changing, you know, just things you wouldn't even, and truthfully, we weren't able to change. Like, luckily we had help changing all the YouTube titles. That there was an, one of the guys on our management team had an app which enabled us to do them all in one go. Otherwise we would have had to go through every stream and change all those. But it was just, it was a really hard time, especially when you've just spent like a month, 2 months planning a new season, paying for graphics. You know, it was, it was really difficult. But yeah, the inspiration for the new name was basically, we've always tried to have, you know, stick to core values where no matter how quick you are, you always get treated the same and you always get the same opportunities, which is why we, all our rules and all our settings are, and the daily race, everything's the same for every tier at One Hub. And that's basically where it came from, that we were one community. And so we went with One Hub, and then we needed to have something to, you know, simulate that it's racing. We couldn't say anything to do with Formula One. So we just went for the word racing. So that's where One Hub Racing come from. And then, yeah, and then, you know, I remember emailing them afterwards, it was all done. And I said, like, you know, how am I meant to describe what the league is without using the words Formula One? And basically they sent me a quote over, which is, you know, you should be, I think all leagues are meant to use an unofficial, and it's like this 2-sentence long thing. So yeah, it was difficult, stressful, but you know, I think the league's better for it now. We've got a new color scheme with it, which I don't think any other league really has in the community, which is nice. And yeah, I think everyone kind of knows One Hub Racing now anyway. So it was just difficult at the time and lots of late nights.
Yeah, for sure. No, as you said there, every league goes through bad patches. And not too long ago, I believe it was just after one of the last races of season 13, we saw this somewhat cryptic video appear on the YouTube channel saying, join us for our last race. Not of season 13, just join us for our last race. So now there was a couple of tweets as well. But was this, Nick, one of these moments where I'm not sure I can run this league anymore? Or was it actually just this big marketing ploy?
It's funny, I've never really had a moment at any point where I didn't think I could do it anymore. But as I said at the beginning, unless I can do it to a high standard, then I won't do it at all. Because I believe, you know, I'm like that with everything in life. I'm not a perfectionist, but I believe when you do something, you should always do it 100%. And season 13 was, you know, you always have these moments in each season which are difficult, you know, whether you're, you know, a driver's frustrated and he's going public about it, you know, all over social media, or, you know, an incident happens on track. There's always, you always look back at each season and pinpoint a really difficult moment. Whereas season 13, it started off fantastic. Like the sign, we filled 80 signups within a week. We had a waiting list again of 15 before the season even started. And then it was only 8 races. So because we'd actually planned to do 10 with a week's break, but because of the Codemasters bringing the game forward, we had to reshuffle the schedule around, cut a couple races out. And you know, everyone knows Codemasters don't have the most stable games. And when season 13 started, it became increasingly frustrating for me, particularly in the top tier, to have, you know, we say, like, you know, if you can't attend the majority of the races, we'd rather you just not sign up, because we'd rather give that space to someone else who can. And obviously we understand that, you know, real life stuff comes first, 100% agree, you know, but if you're signing up to a league that isn't a casual league, it's, you know, a lot of effort goes in by myself and the team. And, you know, even before the season starts, all the planning that goes in, you know, Luki on management team made over 100 graphics for the start of the season, for social wise, for website wise, you know, just to be as professional as we can be. And then when you don't get that in return from some of your drivers, it becomes increasingly frustrating. And you know, when they blame the game, it's even more frustrating because, you know, you got a precision tier last season, you know, and they averaged 18 across the 8 races. I think 3 or 4 of the races were full grids. And you just think, well, they're playing the game as well, but, you know, they're there. And yeah, it just became, I was just getting very frustrated. It'd been a long game cycle with season 12 and then season 13. And yeah, it was just one of those moments where I was busy at work, and I don't know, I just felt like I was constantly getting someone, a driver, message me complaining about something or just not turning up, and you're messaging them, you're not hearing back from them, and you know, and then you add a new driver in and you say to him before he joins, can you attend these dates? Yes, I can. Bring them all up to date with the rules, you know, because we won't just let someone join in unless they're aware of all the rules and the special format we had for season 13 with the 2 stops. And then come Friday night, you just don't hear anything, and it was like banging a head against the wall towards the end of the season. And you know, and that's not to say it wasn't a successful season and we didn't have good championships or anything like that, or good races, because we did. Yeah, it just became frustrating for me. And then we basically decided we were going to do a teaser like that anyway, that you mentioned, that came out, Enjoy the Last Race. And when we did it, we thought about how we could do it to make people think that, oh, hold on, that's not the last race ever, is it? So it was kind of a marketing tactic. But after the last 2 rounds, it just so happened at that point, I was like, I can't handle this anymore. This is just becoming too frustrating for me. And so, you know, that's why I don't know if you saw it, I put out that column, which, you know, got a lot of hype within the community, you know, because you don't realize the work that goes into, you know, running a league at a high standard, and just the social posts every day and things that are involved in media day and making images constantly each week for the race winners, the podium winners, the driver of the day winners. And yeah, and so it just all became a bit, needed that break. And yeah, it started off like that, but then afterwards with my column that I did, it really made a lot of people think that it was going to end. And truthfully, I didn't know if it was going to end, if it wasn't going to end. It was only that my team, when I spoke to them about it, told them how I was feeling, said that they, you know, were all willing to pick up on some of the workload, weekly workload. And so, yeah, and that's why, yeah, season 14 is just around the corner.
Yeah, and of course, there's great excitement around season 14, because I believe we're recording this on the Thursday, the 1st of August. And I think from what you're saying, is the teaser for season 14 coming out tomorrow? Is that right? 2nd of August?
Yeah, the full trailer will come out tomorrow at 8 p.m. Yeah, so it's got a few. It basically reveals everything that we've been planning.
And can you reveal anything to us?
I can reveal that, you know, whenever at the start of a game cycle, a lot of leagues have already started. We never rush into it because, you know, from previous experience, there's always been bugs with the Codemasters game. We'd rather it get sorted out. And also, I think the team that runs the league, we just, you know, it's nice to have that little bit of a break. And so it'll be a full race calendar, full 21 races. We always do 2 seasons on a game, one with a full, one with a shortened and a different format. It'll be normal format, back to, you don't have to pit stop twice. We're in the process of signing a new sponsorship agreement with Next Level Racing, where they'll be more involved with the championships. And yeah, that's all I'm going to say on that. But let's put it this way, that the champions at the end of the season will be very happy that they are more involved. And they're a great company because, you know, they offer wheels and accessories and, you know, seats and that sort of stuff. So it fits in really well. And yeah, there's not too much else to reveal. We haven't really introduced too many new features for this season, because, you know, if you've got something that works, just tweak it here and there. But yeah, exciting times.
I think we can all interpret that there's going to be a hell of a lot more sweat, if you can interpret that right, for the champions anyway. It might actually help with the title battles, knowing that they might have something at the end. But let's move on again. Now, you've had the opportunity and the pleasure of meeting some of your drivers in real life. So what was that experience like for you?
Yeah, it's been really good. First person I met, I believe, was Charlie, who raced with us for a few seasons and who helps us do the website and things like that. He came down to where I live. We went go-karting, which was fun. I whooped him, which was great. And then I met up with Sam and Matt, who won the Season 12 Constructors Championships with Ferrari, and Sam won the drivers. We went go-karting, which was pretty fun. And then at Silverstone, I went with Sam, Gazza, and Jono. We had a great time. Lots of drinking, lots of chatting, obviously, about F1 and stuff. And then we also met Jamie, and I met Tejwar from PSGL as well. So, yeah, it was good. And they were all really nice. We all had a good time. We all get on. So, yeah, I mean, me and Jono, we've raced in one hub together, or known each other since season 4. And we speak on usually a weekly basis. So it's obviously nice that, you know, it starts with just joining a league, but you make these friends out of it. So yeah, it's really good.
And who would you say over the seasons that you've had, there's a lot of seasons now, there's nearly 13, 14 of them, but who would you say has been the most improved driver across these seasons?
It's difficult to say, because you know, a lot of drivers who race, real life things change where they're not able to race anymore. But if I had to pick someone, I would definitely say Sam. Was it season 8 or 9 that he joined? I can't remember. It might have been 9. And I was comfortably beating him when he first started, you know, and he took his pace to a new level when he won the championship in season 12, you know, and he was in the top tier of season 13. And on this game, he's absolutely blistering up the time trial position. So, you know, it just shows you, when you put the time in and you work hard at it, you know, anyone can be quick.
So now, Nick, where do you see One Hub going in the future? Could we maybe potentially seeing One Hub moving to new platforms or to new games? Because at the moment, you're kind of just PS4, F1. Can we see maybe other platforms in the future?
I think it's important, like what you said at the start about passion. You know, I've had a passion for F1, and so that's always kind of what we've done. You know, obviously there are other good games out there, but I truthfully don't play any other game other than Formula One. That's literally the only game I've ever bought for the last 3 or 4 years. That's the only game I've ever played for the last 3 or 4 years. So it would have to be someone within my management team who really kind of sold the idea that we should move over to another game, if we were going to do that. And in terms of platform, again, I don't have you know, any other platforms. I don't really know anyone from that community who, you know, do that side of things. So there's no real plans at the moment to expand that way. I think, again, for us, it's just about keep doing what we're doing, keep it at a high standard. And then if there's opportunities to increase numbers and allow more people to race, then obviously that's something that we'll look at.
And finally, Nick, where do you see yourself in a few years' time?
I don't know. It's difficult to say. I remember last year I actually looked at studying, going to uni and studying esports, because I enjoy it and I feel like I'm good at it. I'm a game advisor to the British Esports Association for F1, So I'm, always in contact with them, keeping them up to date with what's going on within the F1 esports side of things. And they always have opportunities to, do talks at schools and colleges about esports, because it's getting bigger and bigger, and it's going to become, a proper global esport. It'll be campaigns all over in every country, and there'll be institutions and associations all over the world who end up probably competing against each other. So there's always volunteer work that I could do with them, which we're always working on. But in terms of myself, I don't know. I don't know. Just keep doing what I'm doing, and just kind of see where it goes. As I said, I've no aspiration to be the biggest or the best. For me, it's just about getting that satisfaction. Drivers like Jamie, when he gets his first podium after 60 races, and you hear the emotion from him, that's a satisfaction to me, which just makes it all worthwhile.
Well, unfortunately, that is going to be it for the first episode of season two. Nick, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, and I wish you all the best for the future.
Thank you very much.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that has, of course, been it for episode one of season two. I hope you did enjoy that one. We're going to be getting on with it now, with a lot of episodes coming in a short space of time. So, I hope that you're all ready for that. It's available, of course, on YouTube and Spotify and Apple Podcasts if you have got an iPhone. So that's, I'm going to leave it there. So thank you for watching, thank you for listening, and I will see you all next time for episode two. Thank you and goodbye.